This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I couldn't tell. I think Courtney was digging the old goatee look.
You rocking a goatee in there?
You think she was digging it, huh? What gave you that thought? What really set that off?
You are. Tyler just hurts my feelings, man.
He didn't even notice.
Man, he did.
You didn't notice the fade, the clean shave? You're a little frazzled today.
I'm not trying to be rude or hurt your feelings. I just hurt me. Hadn't
he's
noticed.
On the backside of a steak night, man. He's just the awareness isn't peak right
he
now.
He said you're rocking a goatee in there.
I've been staring at screens since I've been here, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You're in the same room with him for an hour, Tyler. You gotta
staring at screens.
You gotta be ashamed,
sir.
Yeah.
I mean, clean shave, fade, goatee.
You look good, okay? I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, no, I came in. She said, "All you."
Why you leave that one gray? That one gray in your beard, in your mustache right below your nose.
I'm not trying to, man. I'm just letting it go.
I mean, cut it. I'm not saying you die.
Is it bad? Is there one piece? It's just right here. Yeah, I just need to pull it.
It's right here. Right underneath that right nostril. Look at him, YouTube. Look at him right there with that one piece of hair hanging out.
Really?
Oh, shiner.
It's all right, man. But no, she still came in, took the boys to get their haircut. She said, "Oh, your haircuts look good. Yours too, Ron." Went in, I said, "Yeah. Do see it is kind of getting a little skinny right there."
You see a little 20 right pounds starting to show in the face.
And then our good friend from promotions, Osita, I didn't know how to take this compliment, but he said, "You look like a fat version of Will Smith in Bad Boys, the first one, Bad Boys."
So like when his face gets swollen up and Hitch?
No. Well, I guess maybe. But the way he described it, he said, "You look like a fat Mike Lowry from the first Bad Boys." And
you look like a fat Mike Lowry.
But the way Tyler brought it is, so when Hitch gets, when Will gets it, did he have a goatee in Hitch? When Will gets that allergic reaction and it's swollen.
Tyler, when you look at Ron, would you go Will Smith or Martin Lawrence?
Maybe a fat Lord, Matt.
You're more handsome than Martin.
It's more. Yeah,
well, no,
it's
I agree. You're more. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, Will. Like, who do you think he favors? I think I'd go Martin.
Nah, I'm going Fresh Prince.
I mean, you are a more handsome man than Martin Lawrence.
I don't think it. I don't know.
Now, I got my recall with Mike Lowry is I had to go back.
Let me see that.
That was one of my favorite movies.
But is that my boy Ron?
The scene right there, the real
fat first. And I had a chain on it.
You definitely got the goatee rocking. You're right. You are right.
I can't rock a goatee.
When
man.
He said,
it does not look right on my face.
When he said the fat version, I said, "Damn, how am I supposed to take that, man?"
I like Will. Will's good looking, but
like
damn.
Mike Lowry was a cool ass dude, but the fat version. Pow Pow said definitely Martin Clint is right. I don't know that I agree with.
Maybe it's the glasses. Did Martin wear glasses in something recently? I say recently as he's been on TV.
Yeah, I don't think he had on glasses when he smacked the hell out of Chris Rock.
Martin.
I think he has been rocking some glasses.
I think I'd go. I believe Martin goes
non-prescription glasses.
When you look at me, I would say a slightly more handsome Martin.
Is this what you're saying?
Well, you're like I said, younger and more handsome. But yeah, that's what I'm looking at right there.
My face is a little fatter, like Martin's is right now.
I mean, well, Martin's got skinny fat going on. You're a bigger dude that's lost a little weight, so you lost it in your face. He's going the opposite direction of you. How many chins he got right there in that picture you showed me? Damn,
he's got
son.
A bad angle.
He got several wrinkles on that old neck.
Text line show you look like a husky Cole from Martin.
Cole from Martin. I don't know which one's Cole from Martin.
He's talking about
the show Martin, right?
Yeah, Cole. Yeah. What is his real name?
I mean, I'm sure Cole from Martin will get it done.
Yeah, he will. Especially the current one. Yeah, I don't know. I did have a hairstyle like that there for a second. Yeah.
I ain't no Cole from Martin, man.
Yeah, not even a husky. But no, I ran with the old goatee look. Started shaving down, man. It felt real good.
Maybe you think Courtney was trying to tell you something? That smooth face?
I don't know. Maybe just grow the rest of it off and see what she does there.
I mean,
she's never.
I don't know if she enjoys the smooth face or not. I don't know. I don't know how she.
Text line come through. I would go show as maybe Urkel growing up. Well, I just think you're just probably someone who thinks black people look alike. Jesus. There's just nothing.
Can I do that?
There is nothing about me that says Jaleel White. That's either
must
Urkel
be
or something.
One pull for up. And
I'm
going to
tell you, sir.
I don't think
you, Clint, and Tyler all look like Larry the Cable Guy. Because all white folks don't look alike.
That'd be bad right there.
All right. The offensive line today, and Titus Howard, he spoke to the media and talked about, from the O-line perspective, the difference of the scheme from last year to this year. Here's, the leader of the O-line right now, Titus Howard.
The scheme is a lot more simple. I was in this scheme a little bit when I first came into the league. But it's really just, I think the biggest thing with Nick and Cole is the mindset. Like, you know, our mindset last year wasn't like it is this year. Like, our mindset now is we got to get downhill. We got to get on guys early and move them. And that's something that we struggle with on the offensive line of the pass, is getting the run game going. Because you get the run game going, the pass game is going to get going. You know, so we got to be able to establish that run early. And they just been attacking the details of the run game of getting double teams a lot. We're going to be doing a lot of double teams. So we're just working on those fundamentals every day and trying to get better.
All right. Before we kind of get into what we saw today from the offensive line, your thoughts on what he said there, talking about this, the mindset and everything has changed. Let's get downhill. And everything from their approach has changed from last year. Your thoughts on what he had to
say?
Well,
my thoughts initially is borderline pissed off, because I asked, well, what was the mentality in that room last year? I mean, good gosh. I mean, which doesn't surprise me based on what I watched.
I mean, Cole must have been in there just losing.
Pulling his hair out, talking about what are we doing here? But put that aside, again, getting out of the rearview mirror, if you will, and really looking into what Titus actually said. I love what he said. I love it. Look, double teams were terrible last year. No doubt about it. I mean, it was comical how bad they were at double teams. If you put two 300-plus-pound human beings together against one person, you should be able to move them, even if you don't pay any attention to the linebacker level or whoever you're coming off to. Move this one human being. And the Texans struggled with that for 17 games last year. And so that in particular, I love what I'm hearing. The mentality that it appears that Cole Popovich is instilling in these guys, I love what I'm hearing. And I'll be honest with you, Ron, I know this is kind of where we're going with it, but I've been a little critical of Titus Howard, and I think rightfully so.
Critical in which way?
Well, the departure of Laremy Tunsil time, the conversations around, okay, well, who the hell is going to take over the room and who's going to set the tone kind of deal. I'll be honest, and I've all but said it. Maybe I have said it. I've dismissed Tytus Howard. Like, Tytus Howard is the guy that's going to do what he's asked to do, and that's about it. Holding other people accountable and setting the standard and all that. It never struck me as Tytus Howard being that guy. And I'm not going to sit here today and tell you that I think Tytus Howard is the alpha that's going to go down there and put his foot on folks' neck and change. But I think if you got Cole Popovich, who's got a standard set and is willing to hold guys accountable, I think Tytus can be the veteran that goes out there every day and is coachable and applies, you know, what he's being coached. And I don't mean just techniques. I mean approach to offensive football. I think Tytus could be a for lack of better terms, a leader, a tone setter from that perspective. I think Cole Popovich is the one that's going to have to be the guy that puts his foot down, the guy that calls people out. But in terms of just setting the standard and being the example, I think Tytus could be that guy. Yeah, and I don't think I've given him credit for that. I think he can be that guy.
Yeah, you've looked at other guys like maybe what Cam Robinson, some other guys.
Well, I've just wondered where it was going to come from.
Yeah.
But you remove Laremy Tunsil. We've talked about how that may have removed a little bit of a roadblock for C.J. Stroud to become the leader that he's capable of being and that the team needs. Hell, it may have also removed a roadblock for Tytus Howard to become somewhat of a leader, if you will. Maybe not the alpha in the room. Again, that's gonna Trent Williams, folks. But
maybe put pressure on him to say,
give him a chance.
I'm the one here. I've been here the longest.
Yeah.
This is because really, there's. I mean, Cam Robinson's there, but there's nobody that's coming in that has more, especially here, experience. Right? He's been through Bill O'Brien. He's been in the playoffs. He's been.
Yep.
So yeah, maybe this created ownership for him to take over. I know you want to move forward. I just would like a little detail here on what he means in particular on, and I'm not kidding, like on double teams from last year. I mean, mind you, the current offensive line coach was in the room. Now, I know there's this deal of, oh, well, he wasn't a head guy, right, but I'll be damned, guys. Like, I mean, come on, no. I mean, like, he didn't just all of a sudden suppress being an aggressive, like, person. Yeah. I mean, he had to be, like, were they coaching position, like, double team blocking? Were they, what was the mentality within, you know, them that's changed? Was it pushed that way by Strausser or, I guess, Bobby? Like, I just want some more detail on What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because I don't understand what he's saying. Was it positional blocking?
Yeah.
Was it just the concept was just get yourself in the way of somebody? Because, I mean, I know he said copy and paste yesterday about the offense. Like, what he's describing of only thing I could say is there was a lack of intensity or lack of physicality, a lack of going downhill.
Yeah.
That's not where Bobby and them came from. Like, they didn't come from a place where it was finesse blocking.
Yeah.
Like, they came from downhill.
Well, it sounds like, after listening to all of Tytus Howard, it sounds like what was going on last year was, it's less about what was going on the front end and more about the sense of urgency and the holding accountable when it didn't go right, when things didn't work out and guys didn't accomplish what they were told to do or didn't execute techniques and blocking schemes and things of that nature. It was almost like it was swept under the rug. Let's just move on to the next. Whereas Cole Popovich, it seems like, is holding guys accountable and demanding they be better. They make corrections. They actually perfect the techniques and things. Where it seems like Chris Strausser was probably a little lenient in that regard. Which again. And again, I'm not blaming everything on Laremy Tunsil. I'm simply explaining the dynamic in that room was a powerful dynamic when it comes to could the offensive line coach hold guys accountable the way he needed to be if he didn't feel like he could with the highest paid guy in the room. I don't know, but that is a dynamic in that room, and that dynamic changing could be a big part of what we're hearing about right now from Cole.
Yeah.
Or from Titus Howard.
Now, as I will say, reports, we've already talked about Hell on Wheels, Will Anderson, and how he approached things. But it is day two, and I clearly want to make it clear they weren't wearing pads. And the intensity level is not at 100% for most of them out there. It's not at 100%. But from today's session, when they had team, for what it's worth, it did seem like there were some struggles at the offensive line position. As you talked about, there were some points that the O-line was getting caved in, lots of pressures, stuffed on runs out there. And as you said, Juice Scruggs earlier got his ass whooped, like it was happening his second
2023
year
2023 fashion, yeah, baby.
Not quite seeing it yet from the offensive line in the first couple of days in terms of turning the corner.
Yeah, we haven't seen it. We're not going to see it. What I do like is two things here. Again, today the approach was very slow and methodical. In terms of the install early on, really for the majority of practice until they go to team, it's clearly pretty vanilla and methodical and focuses on communication and technique and mechanics and not trying to do a million different things. It's clear. So I love the approach, number one. I love what D'Amico Ryan said is, I'm not going to try to convince y'all. We're just going to see what this offensive line's about when rubber meets the road. And, you know, I think there's going to be some bad days. There's going when you're on the field with this defense that is a championship caliber defense, and you're an offense that's trying to retool an offensive line and install a new offense. There's going to be some bad days. There's going to be some bad looks. There's going to be I can't seem to get anything right today types of days for CJ Stroud and this O line. It's going to happen. It's just the part of what's going to happen with the dynamic that is going on in Houston right now. You just hope you have more good days than you do bad.
And Clint, that's why I believe more and more, because what they're saying, because I'll be honest with you, as you said, we'll find out. D'Amico said we'll find out. I'm not completely 100% positive that I feel like this is about to be a group that's going to be moving people like they're saying that. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know if that is – that's something we haven't really seen from – Titus Howard and what we've seen. I don't know about Andrews, right? As you said, he's a free agent from the Patriots, right? We'll see that about Lakin Tomlinson. Maybe there's some of that with him. Cam Robinson, yeah. We'll see. And that's why, to me, again, today, I don't think it's just a coincidence that for the second straight day, whatever it is, Ariante Ursary was running with the first group, whether it be left tackle or right tackle. And that physical part, he appears to be one of the, at least the way it looks and how he played at Minnesota, one of the more physical players. And that's why I think there is a real chance that he is somebody that they have in the lineup. Because, Clint, I don't view Blake Fisher as a physical player. Like what they're trying to get to, maybe not yet, maybe it's not fair, but that's not how I see Blake Fisher. I could see them feeling that way about Ariante Ursary.
Well, I agree with your point. I think Blake Fisher is a – I think he wants to be physical. Now, is he a big physical impose my will on type? Well, no, he's not. He's more of the athletic cut tackle that's going to be more athletic and have quicker feet than the big-bodied guy that's going to get downhill. Now, he's got that dog. Me watching him last year, the little bit that we had – there's some. He's willing to be a dog. He's willing to do some of those things. He's willing to jump off the ball and get physical. Now, can he do it at the NFL level and be quote unquote physical at this level? I don't know. You look at Ariante Ursary and you go, yeah, there's no doubt about it. That part is there. Now, is he athletic enough to play tackle in the NFL and quick enough at that size with that level of physicality? I don't know. We'll see. I think all of the conversations we're having about the Texans, to me, when it comes to physicality, when it comes to setting the standard, when it comes to leading, being the tip of the spear, I think it comes between the tackles. I think it's guard, center, guard. I think those guys on the outside, if you get a more athletic or a lighter Nass, more athletic Blake Fisher is your best option, cool. If you get a big-bodied rookie and Ariante Ursary that can do some move people type things, cool. If Cam Robinson is healthy and ready to go and he's worth $14 million, fine, whatever it may be. The interior offensive line, I think, is where you're seeing guys that are more established right now, for whatever reason, with Titus Howard and Lakin Thomas.
Yep. All right, coming up as we continue here, there is a team, a local team, who has high, high expectations by many, many people, many of the top people who break down their sport. But maybe the biggest roadblock in their way, we'll discuss that coming up next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we are a lot going on. Astros, they get back at it at home. They'll be here at the Daikin as they will take on the A's, as they have the best record, tied with the Blue Jays for the best record in the American League. And obviously it is day two of training camp. As the Texans are getting it going. The season has officially started as it's underway now. And we're obviously there enjoying things and covering this thing up. Clint, I know that you're excited about college football.
Absolutely.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for a little college football?
Yeah. I'm excited about it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's about to get going. And I would just things have changed a bit, right? Where now there are 12 teams that get into the college football playoffs, so there is a kind of a different way that that the regular season goes, and a different feel of the regular season. And we kind of learned some things last year from that. And I guess I would just start with this. Now that we've adjusted, hell, when you played, Clint, to really feel comfortable to get into, to have a chance to win a national championship, you had to, what, go undefeated? Is that what it was for you?
Depending on what league you played in, I mean, one loss and
we watched Auburn in, what was that, 2023 or whatever that was, or 2003, 2004, something like that. They were in the SEC and they were unbeaten and didn't make it because Oklahoma and USC made it. But it feels like in your time it felt like it was you almost couldn't lose right. a game. Yep. Maybe one, as you said, if you're in the right conference and you were ranked high enough. How many games do you think you can lose now to get into the top 12? And I know the league also depends on that. Two losses. Alabama lost two games last year. They didn't get in. What is the amount of games you think you can lose?
Well, I think, you know, Alabama's interesting because, I mean, of who they lost to last year. That was the
issue.
That was the issue. Like I think it matters who you lose to and when you lose. You know, if you're Texas, I know your Texas schedule is one of them. They got Ohio State out of the gate.
I mean, I'm sorry, they lost. They lost four, excuse me. Alabama Who? Lost four.
Alabama?
And they were 9-4 and
yeah.
didn't get in.
Yeah. I mean, so I think three is the max. I think that depends on who you lose to. I just, you know, it's who and when. You lose early, and if it's to good football teams, I think you can survive three losses. I don't think you're surviving four losses. I don't care who you are. I think last year was an anomaly because last year, if you remember correctly, you got SMU got in, Arizona State got in, Boise State got in, and the conversation was, is the almighty Alabama at four losses, are they anywhere remotely close to those teams right there? Last year was a weird, weird year in college football. I don't think we have that again this year. I think three is the magic number, and it depends on who you lose to.
SMU, they were 11-2. They were the final at large team to get in.
Yep.
Alabama was 9-3. They lost their bowl game. They were 9-3, and three didn't get in. So last year, two was the mark, except Clemson. Clemson won the ACC, so they automatically got in. So it seemed like three was the number that didn't get Alabama in. They were the last at-large team. And the reason why I say that is there are, and we talked about it earlier last week, there are huge expectations on Tyler's hated school that he hates, the Texas Longhorns. Arch Manning, he's doing horns down. Arch Manning, that crew.
Some Longhorn somewhere is crying.
Sark, there are high expectations. They are, what, at worst, Clint, going to be ranked in the top three preseason, maybe preseason number one. They probably will be.
They'll be up there.
They're preseason to pick to win the SEC. My thing is, Clint, though, they got a tough schedule. They got five games at the very least when you look at it right now. They got five games that I would say are going to be potentially tough games, and four of them are away from their home stadium. They go week one at Ohio State. They go to Florida. They face OU in Dallas in a neutral site at the Cotton Bowl. They go to Georgia and Athens, and then the one is they play at home against A&M. That's five tough games that we know of, not counting a potential SEC championship game if they got there, not counting another game in which maybe there's another SEC team like in Arkansas on their schedule that plays better than we think, or Mississippi State. Like, you look at this, Clint, it is not out of the realm of possibility that Texas loses three games. Like, it's not out of the realm that they go and lose to Ohio State week one, and there's a potential that they drop two more. That's the thing is, and as you said, three feels like the max. And even though they are really, really talented and loaded and have high expectations, that is an interesting schedule to me to think, I could see three. They got two other top five teams they got to play on the road at the very least.
Yeah.
Against Georgia and Ohio State.
Well, I think three's the number. I really do. To draw the line of still having, you got to be a blue blood. You got to be a big brand. And the losses are important. We go back to that Alabama, right? I mean, Alabama lost to Vanderbilt last year. They lost to a suspect OU team and a team in Tennessee. That was their three losses. And, you know, the OU loss was later in the season. And so you're not going to be able to survive that if you're Texas or anybody else. But out of the gate, Texas loses to Ohio State. And then, you know, Georgia clips them. And then they say they play Georgia again or something and they get clipped. Like that. Like,
does that scenario you just created? They lose to Ohio State and Georgia, and then they lose in the SEC championship game, and that gives them three losses. Does that hold them out?
Well, I think so. You got beat by Georgia twice ultimately down the stretch in your conference, and if you run the table otherwise, I think there's a chance you still get in. I think there's a chance you're still viewed, assuming Georgia's a top team. I think there's still a chance that you're viewed as a top 12 team and you deserve a shot. Yeah, I think there's a real shot at that point in time. Again, if there is an undefeated, you know, Boise State that's went toe to toe with an Oregon or somebody like that, then there'll be a conversation out there. But I think three good losses is the number. Or you talk about Texas, like if two of those losses are regular season, they come back and they drop another, say they drop a third one to Florida, like you mentioned. And then you come back and win the SEC late in the season.
They win the SEC, they're automatically in.
Yeah, they're automatically in. Yeah. So, yeah, it's I think three is the number, though. If you really want to be considered a top 12 team, and maybe we're talking about 12, 13, 14, and we're juggling, you know, who's better in those rankings, I think three is the number or you're out.
Yeah, as an at-large. I think they should be at some point within that if they get – they should be rewarded for playing. Like right now, preseason, it looks like Ohio State's top five. Preseason, it looks like Georgia will be top five. And A&M top 25. Oklahoma top 25. Florida top 20. And most of those games are on the road. That is, that's a hell of a schedule to have to navigate through and play so many on the road. So that to me is the biggest thing potentially besides injury or something. That's the biggest thing to me that could hold Texas back is this damn schedule they have. And I think as Tyler let me know last year, they were rewarded with maybe an easier SEC schedule. This year, it should be interesting to watch.
They got Arch Manning though, man. No worries, bro. I mean, this dude's winning the MVP in the NFL in 2026 and maybe even 2027 when it comes down to it.
Is it back-to-back
Austin's
years?
Just fine, man.
Is it back-to-back years, he's going to come right in the league and win that.
That's what I've been hearing.
That's what you've been hearing.
Lock it in.
That's scheduled for Texas, boy.
Are you going to bet it, T?
Burn orange clowns. Get the hell out of here.
I don't think he's going to bet it.
Hell no!
Doesn't sound like it, does it?
I don't think his heart can't do it. All right, coming up. We got to look at the passing of a legend. How big of a star is this legend? And fellas, I think you may be maybe embarrassed or at least disappointed in me as I had another potentially cheap moment today.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me. I mean,
don't you have those daily?
If you're gonna surprise me, spend some money.
I know we got dirties daily, but I mean, I just assumed cheap Ron was daily.
If you hear the back and forth before I finally caved in to pay for this,
exhausting.
I think it was for that guy. I'll tell you coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Pal Pals from YouTube and Twitch says, sounds like what people thought about Johnny Football.
What's that?
What you're saying about Arch, I believe, is what he is referencing.
Nobody knew who the hell Johnny Manziel was when he stepped out on the field at Kyle that first week.
Thought he was going to...
That's quite different.
Win it all, baby.
And I don't believe I remember anybody predicting just complete success as he transitioned to the NFL.
Clint did.
Well, I did.
No, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but...
I called everybody dumbass for not taking him.
And I'm not saying there wasn't hype with Johnny Football at some point, but he had to get there with what he was doing on the field. This Arch Manning hype is freaking out of control, insane, and the dude hasn't done nothing.
Yeah, just enjoying himself, I guess. He said, we're going to show y'all, baby. Ohio State, week one.
2025 Heisman, baby. Lock it in.
There it is. it's Heisman, baby. And win the next several Heismans, baby.
Silly-ass Longhorns.
All right. Today, had the old eye appointment today. Had to go, I wait a little bit longer than I was supposed to.
Right? Are you going cheap with the medical?
Yeah, are you
now?
About to tell us a cheap story and it's starting with a medical visit again?
It's your well-being. It's your health, man.
Hell. I'm about
price and surges and stuff. This guy.
I'm about 6 months past when I should have got my eye appointment, but I did go in. Went to get the eye appointment and started out doing the test or whatever, and just had to read stuff, put my chin on the little deal, and did whatever. And my man said, we want to do a test on the back of your eyes. They said, you can get your eyes dilated, or we have the camera where it's not on your insurance, but it's about $30, little $30 extra. You don't have to worry about getting your eyes dilated and going out and be fine.
What were they looking for?
They just take it. It's kind of a new thing now. They just take a picture of the back of your eyes. And usually the way they had to do that was to dilate your eyes.
Yeah, they ain't got to do that no more.
They don't have to do that. Now, they still will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, it'd be about $30. Extra. He said, I would really advise you do it. I said, nah, I think I'm good.
Tyler, you hear this? $30, man.
And he said,
your sight, like your, I mean,
he said, so you're okay with getting your eyes dilated? He's like, I mean, and then
it's your eyeballs,
he
bro.
He did it. What? It's the same thing. It's just a little
freaking
longer.
Dollars.
He said, well, he goes, what do you do? I said, are you going back to work? I said, I'm actually going to go ahead to work. After
the show,
this.
Man.
Host the number one afternoon sports show, sports radio.
I'm a radio host though, so it don't matter.
He said, oh, awesome. He goes, so he's like, you have to read? You have to, you gotta focus? He goes, if you do go ahead and get your eyes dilated, maybe about 4 to 6 hours, and maybe you have to sit here just a bit.
Hold on, so.
Before you can, your eyes kind of, maybe some blurred vision, some things like that.
Surpass the dilation.
And he said, are you sure? He said, I would really advise, and I said, I said, I hear you. I said, I think I'm good. He said, okay. He said, also, it is.
He said,
right now they're giving you $5 off here. It'll actually be $25, just in addition. He's like, I really think for what you're about to do, you should probably really consider this.
You didn't cave, did you?
And I said, it's 25. I said, and that's just 25. I said, exactly what does it do? And I finally said, okay, all right. It says $25. All right.
You saved $5.
I did.
That's good stuff, man.
I don't know if I was going to save it anyway or negotiate it, but I sat there.
Oh, he was going to take you 30. There ain't no
it
that.
Was. It
you
was.
Got, you got to.
It was. It was. Gotta be it was literally 5 minutes of a back and forth. Like
was,
he was.
Was
like,
it worth your time?
Sure.
$5, 5 minutes?
I mean, probably not. But I mean, I said to him,
time is money.
I said to him, I said, no, I'm good. He said, sir, I don't know, man.
The only guy I know negotiate with his eye doctor.
You wouldn't have thought about it?
As the man in care of your eyeballs, I would recommend.
He's taking my eyeballs, but I'm getting... I mean,
you're not an optometrist.
It would have been, but no, he's not saying that would have been bad. It just would have been
better.
It's been 4 to 6 hours is what he said.
The medical professional's advice would be for you to just go ahead and pay the $30 and get this thing done the right way.
If you
push back for 5 minutes.
If I were going,
you made him earn it. That's okay.
If I were going home, I would have. There's a Target right next to it. I would have walked over to Target and just walked around in Target for a little bit till I got.
Do you get your eyes right?
Focus right, and then I'd have driven home.
Yeah, bro, I'm not on that.
Haggling with a stripper about a lap dance price is one thing. Stop haggling with these medical folks.
They're actually closely related.
I did not. It was her.
I know it ain't from education standpoint or getting a degree.
She danced the next three songs. I did not ask for her to do that.
You didn't stop her.
I'm not going to pay her. That's besides
the point. That's
his
fine.
His hip flexors were locked up.
That I'll take that 9 times out of 10 if we're talking that rather than you arguing with the doctors.
I didn't. It wasn't an argument. I just said I'm fine. I'll be honest with you. I felt like he was a little pushy. Just let me get my eyes dilated. $25. Now, come to think about it, what I could have done with.
Well, now then you'd be on air over here talking about how that goofy ass doctor got your eyes messed your eyes up. Now you can't read.
Text Live, the number one show talk show, is The Drive with the cheapest host in Houston. Are you saying you would have just gone with it?
Yeah, I'd have just said, "All right, Doc, all right, I trust you, man. Let's ride."
What a son of a bitch.
I damn sure would not have negotiated
the amount of pictures
$5.
I had to take, man, with that eye, man. It was. God, I almost
is that
wanted
my
to
boy
get
wrong?
Didn't you say Courtney gets exhausted with your level of cheapness from time to time?
How could she not?
Well, I mean, that's a fair question.
I don't think it's a high level.
Good heavens.
You don't think it is?
Heavens to Betsy, right?
I don't think I'm alone. I thought it was a quality question. I'm fine. I'm good with it. Lady at the gas station tried to get me. You wanna be a member? No, I'm good.
Out of principle, that's fine. But would you save $2? I got it. I told you one of my best friends.
$25 today.
One of my best friends in college. Our relationship strained to this day.
Why?
Yeah, because he's a cheap ass, and I'm okay with being a cheap ass. But then when it at the time he and fair. I mean he, I was playing ball and I had some money in the bank, and I went back and we was kicking it, and I had bought everything all night long, not questioning one thing. We was all drinking the Crown. He goes, "Hey, man, let me get you one, man. End of the night, let me get you one." I said, "All right, Kurt, but I take this cup right here, and I want it. I want Crown. Now I want what I've been drinking." That dude went to the bar
and
bought a small single, like a single, in Well, dumped it in my cup. Had been drinking double.
Did you watch him do it?
No. When he brought it back to me, he handed it to me, and I smelt it. You can tell the difference between Crown and Well. And I could smell it. God. And I said, "Man, you are a cheap son of a." I was mad. I was legit mad. I said, "Man, you sat here and
I would have bought you Crown
all night." Yeah, I'm not saying you are, Kurt. I'm just saying this is my experience with it. I said, "Man, all night long, you sat over and we was drinking double talls and Crown, and we was having us a good time. Not to mention everything else you're benefiting from the company you're keeping." It's because he could hunt. Now that was a dog. You point him in the right direction, he could hunt. And I said, "Man, you gonna go up there and really get me a Well and dump it in my cup and try to like not if one thing if you'd have bought a Well and brought it back to me and said, "Hey, man, here's all I got." You tried to hide it and hoping I didn't.
Hide it,
and as soon as my nose hit it, I said, "Oh hell no!"
He should have just came with you and said, "Man, I ain't got it.
I ain't got that's it."
Yeah.
But the problem is, he had it.
See, I wouldn't have done that.
He is just an unbelievably cheap human being. I was renting him an apartment right off the strip. I was renting him one of my apartments for $500 a month, half price. You know what my man had to gall to deduct from his rent? A $42 ceiling fan. Because it didn't have one in the room he was in.
Man. Yeah,
$42. Hey, I said, "Man, I'm done, bro."
Were you under an alias, bro?
I'm done, bro. I'm
42,
I'm
man.
Done.
I hear him, man.
I am.
Text line coming through. Stand firm, Ron. My dentist offered half off x-rays when I declined. I was just out of college. That was my excuse. We've been getting our eyes dilated for years. Why change now and pay more? I'm with Ron. Someone texted in, Ron, I cannot believe you would put a price on your health. Cheap ass. It was not. No, it was not a difference. I mean, it was just a thing that would have gone through quicker. I was still like my eyes dilated. I just would have. It had just been 6 hours till I'd have been able to completely focus and maybe deal with a little blurred vision.
He was clearly trying to sell you something, and it would be okay if you just said, "Nah, I'm good." But you literally were. Well, you were willing to buy it at a cheaper rate.
Now he pushed. Now I think he pushed. I did. I initially said, "Oh, I think I'm good."
Because you didn't want to spend the $30, not because you thought it was easier.
I did. Yeah, right. I didn't want to spend the $30. Right. I'll take the lesser one, and I'll deal with. I've dealt with eyes dilated. I can do it. I can drive through.
But at 25, you're in.
Well, he kept pushing. And he said, "Sir, I'd really like. What do you do? Oh, I'd really you. Advise you."
To. He sold the show. He yeah, got you.
He did, man. I just, hey, man. He won't get me next time out of principle. I'm going to beat his ass. What you got coming up?
Texans training camp practice number 2, baby. I got observations. I'm going to fire hose you with them next right here on Sports Radio 610.